Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, my name's Nick.
Hello, I'm Woogie.
We are the Mouth of Manliness. This is a podcast all about mental health, but it's not just mental health. It's kind of about people's lives and about how they cope and how they manage in the world.
Yeah, and digging into the stories that make them who they are.
Yeah, so it's real life stories where we talk about things that people have been through and how they've managed and how they've coped and how they've come out the other side. So sometimes it's just me and Woogie here, but more often than not, we're talking to guests, sometimes more well-known guests, but more often than anything, it's just normal people who have been through interesting situations.
Yeah, and they've all got a lovely story to tell.
Yeah, so Mouth of Manliness, we are about mental health, but we're more about people and stories.
So, welcome to the Mouth.
The Mouth of Manliness. Welcome to the Mouth of Manliness. Yeah, we're back. Season 3. It's up and running. We are going.
Yes, we are.
I'm Nick. I'm normally here. And Warren is here now. Well, you already know he's here.
How's it going?
We released our first one today. All very exciting.
Yeah, it's great.
New
theme
tune.
Very good. New theme tune.
Yeah, and the other person laughing is 76, a.k.a. Stu Mangan. I was thinking before you got here, what was I going to call you? And then I realised that, me and him run by loads of names.
Yeah, exactly.
We've all got 100 names. You've got to have loads of names.
You've got to have loads of names these days.
Yeah, man. You've got to keep up, isn't
it? Yeah, two's not enough. It's not.
Standard.
Yeah, you've got reinventing yourself almost every other hour
always,
of the day.
Always.
Keep your brand fresh.
Yeah, it's nice to have it. Where's 76 come from then?
It's essentially the year I was born.
Same here.
Lovely. Yeah, there you go. Hello, nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Yeah, cracking year. I was born on the hottest day in UK record in 1976.
Oh, shit. That's right. My it's so hot, though. Oh.
My mum recalls putting me, in the bath to keep me cool, because it was, enamel baths were cool, because it was...
It wasn't for the hot water, though. No, I don't think so.
Don't think so.
Yeah.
And, yeah, because she was going to say it was the hottest year ever. I don't know if it's ever now. It's probably not now.
It was then.
It was then.
Loads of hot days since then, I imagine.
Yeah, especially since the planet's going to shit. Definitely. This is the first time we've met.
Yes,
isn't it? It really is. Which is strange, because I do kind of feel like I know you.
Yeah, that's what Instagram and the internet does, right?
It
just brings people close, and you can have solid relationships with people without ever meeting them.
That's quite a positive thing, though, isn't it? Because it's like you see someone, and it's not like you don't have that kind of awkward beginning.
Precisely.
We've known each other for a good few years now.
Plus 5 or 6 years, without a doubt. Maybe more.
Even when I was touring with Pip, obviously, you know.
Yeah.
So I saw you around those times.
Of course,
the guys around there.
Yeah. I would have heard about you before then as well.
Same.
There you go.
Reputation precedes us.
Did you meet through Pip?
When I was used to work with Tom Coles and stuff, and you've known Tom for ages and stuff as well, right? So,
But I knew Tom through Pip and for many years, because Pip and I worked at H&V together.
With Other Stew. Oh.
With
well.
Other Stew.
So I worked with Other Stew.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there you go. But Pip would never tell me Tom's surname.
Would he not?
Whenever he spoke about him, he'd say, my mate Tom, you don't need to know his surname.
Yeah.
And that went on for years.
Did it?
And I never wanted to know his surname. And then one day, I found out his surname and I was gutted.
Of course it was.
I was like, man, this is our thing. I don't ever want to know his surname.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I love Tom. He's a good lad. I worked with him in HMV. He basically... Not HMV, sorry. I worked with him in Music Box in Lakeside.
Yeah.
Because he never worked in HMV. He wasn't...
No, he wasn't an HMV
He wasn't an HMV dude. So yeah. He used to play DJ Shadow in the morning. I used to play out the driving in the afternoon.
Mm.
And then we'd like settle on Bjork in the evening. And that was...
Where was Music
That was our
Box?
Routine.
There you go.
It became Premier Titles. It was on the corner opposite like... in the bang middle where the...
Where the jewellery stores are.
Where the jewellery stores are. And like next door was Jay Norman. Because we used to hang out with Jay Norman girls and Christmas dudes and stuff.
Yeah.
Loads of fun.
Well, back in then you had Sam Goody in Lakeside. As well, back
my mate used to work in Sam Goody.
Yeah, I used to buy all my tunes from Sam Goody and Barkin. Actually,
I bought Ed OG and the Bulldogs CD in Sam Goody.
Shit,
isn't it weird how you remember like that?
Yeah,
long ago?
Yeah,
what specific
yeah.
album you bought where?
Yeah, I bought Dookie Green Day in the Woolworths in Barkin High Street.
Do you remember Roundabout Records in Greystown Centre?
Yeah.
I bought Third Base's Derelict Dialect in there.
Shit.
Isn't that weird? Like,
that's mad, yeah. Cool.
I haven't thought about that for probably 26 years.
yeah, but you know.
It just popped into
but
my
you
head.
You know you did it, yeah. Yeah. I actually bought another one, All for One, I Swear, with 5 P's in Woolworths Barking as well when I was at school. I don't even know why I bought that song. I think I bought it for my girlfriend.
What's that
I bought
song?
It in 5 P's.
How does that
Mate,
go?
You say, Adam,
I swear by the moon and the stars.
yeah,
exactly.
You can fix that in the post.
Yeah. Kanye the shit out. That, yeah.
Who called you? How long did it take you to save up all those 5 P's?
Fuck knows, man. It was all from like the cans of drink that I bought, probably, and just had it all in my pocket.
You invested it well.
I did, yeah. Solid.
You still with her?
Hey?
What a waste of money that
what
was.
What a waste. Oh, mate, Leah, when I was in year 7. That's what I bought that for. I remember that as well. Oh, dear. Anywho, yeah. So it always goes back to music, man. Always.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It's funny because you do remember, like, especially when you're younger and you really have to kind of pull your money together to buy music
anyway.
Yeah,
it means more.
So you do remember it now. And don't mean nothing, does it?
Just
download Bosch.
Yeah, it's mad. So we met a good few years ago and made some music together.
Mm-hmm.
You remixed, what's his face's record? I'm going to edit this bit. Ian's. You remixed Ian's.
Oh, yeah, the Giacomo Brown.
You remixed the Giacomo Brown record.
Yeah, so I asked Ian if I could... are we allowed to say his first name?
Yeah, fuck it. I'm sure everyone knows it.
Yeah. That's Pip's brother, isn't it?
Pip's brother, yeah.
Oh, what was the song? It's kind of like bluegrassy a bit.
The whole album is
it's all like
exactly
folky bluegrass.
It was recorded by Yellow and like loads of outdoors recordings and stuff, right? And
it's a beautiful album.
I haven't heard the album, but I do remember one of the songs about going into the water or something.
Yeah.
There was a video for it and
yeah,
I really liked it.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, the whole album sounds like that. It's
amazing to think that he just made that record and it's like, you know.
And that's
That's it, yeah.
And then he wasn't interested.
No, he wasn't.
He didn't even want Pip to put it out.
I know he didn't, yeah. It's such a good album, though.
Mate, it stands up there with most
it's
fucking
so good.
Albums.
Yeah, it's so good.
But I remember messaging him just saying, this would be really great sample material.
Yeah, and it was.
Do you mind if I do it? So I just basically chopped and sampled them into hip-hop beats and then asked a load of MCs if they wanted to get on it.
Yeah.
So every track is now a hip-hop track with an MC on
really?
It. Yeah.
I even fucking... I've got a verse on there, haven't I?
Oh, me and you did a fucking
track
on
there.
Verse,
yeah. We both did a verse.
Yeah. So we did a track about being a father.
We did, yeah, right.
So Warren does the first verse.
Yeah, that's it.
About... being a dad,
yeah,
like a new dad,
yeah, a new dad,
and
exactly.
My
that,
second
yeah.
verse, because like my kids are a little bit older than
that's
yours,
it. Yeah, yeah.
So my second verse is about being a dad. It's my one and only time on record.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But did you rap or sing?
It's spoken word, isn't it?
It's
really?
Spoken. Oh, okay. Yeah, I spoke. I was with Pip actually when I did it because I was we was on our way to Best of All or something.
Yeah,
it was around that time, wasn't it? Because I was in Ice Shattered Gun, I think, supporting.
Shit, yeah.
I think I was. Well, I might not have been. I don't know. No, I must have been.
It
was around that time. Yeah. I was still in that supporting Pip and Dan, I'm sure. Because I was still like noodling, making tunes and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was. I might be wrong, but yeah. And then we did that verse. It was like, yeah, cool, go. Man.
So my one and only time on record is with you.
Yeah.
On the Giacomo Brown Reflips album.
Yeah, it's good, man. Fucking go get it.
Mate,
it's wicked.
Glorious, yeah.
It's bangers.
Well,
It's a small circle, isn't it? Because, like, yeah, obviously you, like, produce for Hardcore Listing and...
Off the Beaten Track.
Off the Beaten Track, which is, like, my oldest friend.
Yeah.
It's just a small little world.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite nice, though. I think it's really cool.
It's weird for me, obviously, having roots in and around Grays and sort of this part of Essex. Because, like, I sort of left it. Not like in a fucking flurry, but I always wanted to just go back to East London and stuff. And was I've only ever been sort of disappointed with being up there, really, the truth be known. And then coming back, you realise that, like, the sort of success, or not success, but, like, happy times and music and everything else have all stemmed from this place, really. It's intrinsically in me. It's, you know what I mean? Like,
it'll always be like a home.
I'm in no great rush to run back to East London anymore. Like, I was saying this to him the other day, because I've been sort of a bit of a nomad in terms of where I've been. And it's definitely something in the water, right?
Yeah, I've never been anywhere. Like Stu Riffin, he's always been, we've always been kind of really close.
He's literally 400 yards away.
Yeah, it literally is.
Yeah. I've lived in Grays really my entire life. For 45 years next
45,
month.
45, yeah.
Which again, that could sound harrowing and disappointing. But I'm so comfortable. However, I would love to experience something else.
Yeah.
I would love to move, like me and Tasha, for example. I would love for us to go and explore or live somewhere else and just broaden the horizons a little bit.
But then because tied by family and stuff, though, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, I think the beauty in that, and I think I kind of realised that recently too, it's like, well, there's time, isn't there, to like go
plenty
and do
of
shit.
Time.
And like, you know, like even if... You might have more family. Or you
it's
might,
difficult,
you know
it's
mean?
Difficult
like,
with a six-year-old.
Yeah.
That's not Tasha, by the way. She's an appropriate age. My son is
I'm glad.
Six.
Yeah, Max is a lovely little kid.
Yeah, Max exactly is that. Six. So that obviously ties me to there. But,
I've never really had any compulsion. Like, I went to university for a year, and then I was itching to come home, really.
Mm-hmm.
Just want to come home and play in bands with my mates. I didn't really want to be there. And like now, like my mother-in-law lives in the close opposite. It's so convenient.
Yeah.
My parents will come. My mum moved to like Brentwood and my dad down South Enway. Mm. And I'm always like, it's too far to go.
Going down to 128.
Yeah, they have to come to me.
There's always someone doing 45 in that 50. I'm not going.
There is, man. I've literally got so many tickets in the minute. That's a bane of my life. We'll edit that out as well.
I used to
on a long nail.
Did the police listen to this podcast?
They're fun knows. They probably fucking do.
Leon.
Oh, shit.
Hey, Leon, legend.
Yeah.
Leon will do you.
What guy?
Yeah. Safe.
Yeah.
All good.
I've been attached to him recently, actually. Yeah, he's a right nice fellow.
Good lad.
I like him a lot.
It's interesting, mate.
It's quite nice how you kind of keep in touch with people.
Mm.
So your story. we need to start going to your story because it is pretty amazing. Like, not amazing as in a nice thing to have gone through, but still kind of like quite a. It's a big story, isn't it, really?
It was, I guess
so. Mind-blowing.
I mean, it was so long ago for me.
Yeah, of course.
That it feels like I'm telling you a film that I watched once.
Yeah.
Because I've, like, moved on
but
so far.
But it kind of is like a film.
Yeah. It's in a weird way, it's kind of a normal for today.
Right.
Yeah.
But back then, it wasn't...
Yeah.
It wasn't normal. Like, you read about it every day in the papers.
Yeah.
But not so much back then.
So, again, for our listeners, I'm just staring at Stu, wondering what the fuck he's going to say, because I have no knowledge of your story, which is a beautiful thing, but, you know, I'm massively on the seat, on the edge of my seat right
It's
now.
Quite funny, right? So before I kind of reached out to say, do you want to come on, Within the gone, oh, you've got to get Stu on. You've got to hear his fucking story. It's amazing. And then a few other people, maybe Chris said, and a few other people said, and I'm like, all right. And then I asked you, and then I thought, do you know what? I should, like, listen to something first. Yeah. So then I listened to, like, Rich's one. And then I was like, fuck, they're all right. It's a pretty insane story.
The weird thing is, like, you know, Rich asked me to go on the podcast. I was like, yeah, of course, man. I'd love to go. Because, again, Rich is a dude, isn't he? He's like a proper dude. And I wasn't going around there to tell any story. I was going around just to have a conversation with him.
Yeah.
And then that conversation just somehow moved into that.
Yeah.
So there was stuff that I said on that podcast that I probably haven't spoken about for like a couple of decades.
Right, yeah.
Because I haven't needed to.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
But then it just evolved into that, you know, I was so comfortable with it, it just evolved into it. It's crazy. So.
But I think it's a real kind of story about coming through the other side.
Mm.
You know, and that's why I think it touches people, because yeah. It's like no one would want to necessarily put themselves in that position, and being so young.
Yeah.
And then, but coming out the other side and being able to reflect on it and it kind of making you stronger in the long run, kind of thing. That's what I really connected with. So, and that kind of, and that touched me. It really did.
I'm glad to have touched you.
Yes. But that's a special thing, isn't it? That's the thing. I think, you know, when people are honest about things, those are the best things that people ever say, really.
Yeah.
Do you want me to start?
Yeah, go on.
Ask
questions, start, steer it, however you want to do it.
You've lived around here all your life.
Yes.
And your parents were teachers.
Yes.
Was it all at the same school?
Yes.
Right. I'll say it because now I feel weird. So your mum got into a relationship with one of the kids at the school.
Yes.
And you knew about it.
Yeah, because I went to the same school, so it was around me every day.
So how did you find out?
Yeah, so, like I said, we've lived down there all of our lives. My dad's from the northeast, so he moved down when he was in his early 20s as a teacher. And he got a teaching job at a school that's about 2 miles from here. And I went to a junior school in the same town.
Yeah.
And then it's made sense that I would go to the senior school there,
of course,
because all my friends were there.
Yeah.
But then also, both of my parents taught there.
See, that's pretty difficult, as it is.
Yeah, as it is.
Yeah,
as
thinking back objectively, you're a kid and you're... I mean, you don't even want to accidentally call your teacher mum.
No.
Like, anyone who's ever done that...
your mum.
Right, it's embarrassing.
Like, my mate's mum was a dinner lady and he got fucking destroyed. Let alone...
Exactly. So my mum was a French teacher at the school. My dad taught PE at that school. And again, that was normal to me because you grew up as...
Yeah.
Your parents are teachers, right? It is what it is.
Yeah,
it's like when a famous celebrity's kid says, what's it like having your parent as a celebrity? They go, well, I don't know. It's just my parent, right?
It is what it is.
So I went to the school and it was fine. But then roughly around when I was maybe 13, so I was in the third year.
Right.
I don't know what that is these days. Year 9? Yeah. That'd be year 9 these days.
So year 9, yeah.
Yeah, so that's my daughter's age.
Yeah, so my third year, the current year 9, is when she started seeing a kid who was in the fourth stroke fifth year.
Right.
Which is year 10 stroke 11.
Right,
so
okay.
only a year or two older.
Yeah.
Right.
Fucking hell.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, yeah, that's hard. Fuck
yeah,
hell.
Yeah. Right, so, on reflection, you've got a son.
Yeah.
He is a pupil at the school that you're ahead of year at.
Yeah.
And you're gonna
start. Oh no,
she was.
Yeah.
I was head of humanities when I was
13. Fucking nailed school.
Yeah. I smashed the first year and I was just
destroyed.
Yeah.
how old was your mum at this point, if you don't mind me asking?
She's mum age.
Mum age.
Yeah, I know it's mum age, but you know.
Well, she would have been 30.
Right, okay.
I don't know, early 30s?
Early 30s.
But all teachers are really old when you're at school.
Yeah, they're adults.
They're not really. They're younger
adults
than we
until
are now.
You get to, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They're adults until you get to sixth form and you can call them by their first name.
Yeah.
And that sort of shit.
Exactly. So she would have been let's just say mid 30s.
Right, okay. Yeah. Right.
Just for argument's sake.
So how did you find out then? Was it through kids talking at school and things?
Kind of. So... She would, always... She was, a young kind of teacher, so she always, listen to the latest pop music, dress young, and, at lunchtimes and break times, she would always have kids in a room like hanging around, like listening to music, and chatting, and doing whatever. She was always with that, so.
Which is essentially really fucking cool, right?
Yeah.
So
it's like the relationships
I've had with my teachers in time. It's like you'd hang out in the art class or the music room, and like everyone's just sort of hanging about. And that is.
But they probably had their clothes on in your. Yeah, there you go. But then that extended to like she would give them like lifts home.
Yeah, like, right.
But then, like, or she'd go like to their parents' house and like have a cup of tea, etc., etc. So this started like.
It becomes a deeper relationship at that point.
Yeah,
right?
It became a bit of a deeper relationship. So, again, I'm trying to think whether I knew what was going on or whether I was so fucking like. Because when I was a kid, I was like just really naive and like, simple.
You've got enough shit to go on with anyway.
Exactly.
But you're not looking for problems. You wouldn't be looking for that, would you? So you
it wasn't even on my radar.
Exactly. You wouldn't expect that, so it wouldn't occur to you.
The only thing on my radar was like my Amiga 500 and football. That was literally my radar.
Yeah. Was she like that with. Did you ever feel, though, was she, like, was she kind of, the way she was with the other kids, not in, in a rude way, but, you know, like, she was really nice and embracing of all the other kids. Was she like that with you as well?
No.
I was curious about that.
No. Like, my few memories of were either her being, like, really angry.
Yeah. Right.
Or, like, I'll give you two examples. One was when I was probably, I don't know, 7 or 8, let's say. And when you're a kid, your parents dress you and you don't like what they dress you.
Yeah.
I wanted to wear jeans, but she wanted me in trousers to go shopping wherever we were going. And I probably said more than once, I want to wear jeans. And I can remember like picking me up by my ears and throwing me onto the sofa.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I've got a bad memory, but I can remember that perfectly. That
shit, yeah, you do remember things like that, don't you?
Fuck. Yeah. So, and then the other one, I remember like, I was, for obvious reasons, I was bullied at school. Right. I mean, I had a great group of friends.
Mm.
My dad was like an icon at school, so I'm so happy that he was at my school because he had so much love and respect for people that I got protected a lot.
Yeah, cool.
So why'd you get bullied?
Because of her. So like the older kids. Well, there's always going to be a group of arseholes at school, right?
Any remote fucking story that is associated with you, people are going to
there you
jump
go.
On.
So let's say there was a handful.
Kids are arseholes.
All right, but
school's a free-for-all, isn't it?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Battle Royale,
so
man.
Let's just, for argument's sake, there was like a handful, maybe 10 kids that were just cunts.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
The rest of them are fine.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
right,
yeah,
so
yeah.
Again, I was protected. No, you know, there's lots of good people around, a really good group of friends, etc., etc. But there was one kid that in particular that used to go on and on and on and on. And I remember being in my bedroom. I was probably about, I don't know, 14, let's say.
Mm.
And just thinking, I need to go and tell them. Because I'm thinking, I've got this in my head. If I go and tell them, what's that going to open up?
Mm.
So I need to go and explain. So I remember going downstairs, going to the front room. My dad was there. My mum was reading like a magazine or whatever. And I was like, I'm being bullied by so-and-so at school.
Mm.
Right, and I think I was like
crying
or whatever. Because it's a big thing. Yeah. I remember she barely looked up from her magazine and was just like, don't be such a crybaby.
Wow, okay.
So that's why I was curious about, like, if she was like really kind of nurturing of all these other kids.
Well, that's... I only thought about that on reflection.
Yeah.
Like, I never thought it at the time, but on reflection, this is obviously going to have something in your subconscious.
Yeah.
Is you had a son of, say, 14.
Yeah.
So why is all of your attention on a kid of 15 or 16?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I put that together at the time. But yeah, like, you know, 15, 20 years later, I'm like, hang on a second.
Yeah, yeah, or that's just weird. Generally trying to be, like, really hip with all the kids at school, but not...
Yeah.
Not with you.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just so weird how, like, how can people compartmentalise their emotions like that?
Mm.
It's like, you've got kids, you could...
Yeah.
You could be cool and lovely with them, but yet you're not.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like super strange. So, like, like I feel disconnected sometimes. Like, when you see, like, the perfect family...
Yeah.
Either in real life or on an advert or
in
a film, I always felt disconnected
from it. I have that as well.
Yeah.
I always felt
disconnected. Like, you want that, but it doesn't resonate with how your actual life is. And I've always felt like that. In fact, like, you know, like Natasha, my current and future partner for the rest of my life, of course, is the first time I've had that connection with
yeah.
somebody. The first time I feel like I actually belong. And yeah. I'm supposed to be with somebody. But I've never weird? Had that.
Maybe that, before. But then yeah, the I've kind of psychologist it. In me like thinks that if you felt that kind of, if you didn't feel that with, like, you didn't get that attachment from your mum,
yeah.
it almost makes you feel like you're undeserving. So when yeah. you go into other relationships, you go in thinking, like, I don't deserve this anyway, so it kind of don't yeah. work.
Exactly, and I feel like that, I have felt like that in all aspects of my life.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, why am I here? Why is this person my mate? Why is this person my girlfriend? Why is this person my boss? Why have I been employed in here? Why have I been chosen to do this?
Yeah.
yeah.
And you never feel that connection, you never feel good enough.
Yeah.
To be that.
So yeah, I get yeah. this. I have.
And well, the validation thing is that I constantly need that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it wasn't until
that resonates for me a lot.
Yeah, yeah. It does for me. Yeah, it I wasn't get until
like
badly.
A few years ago, one of my bosses was like, "You need a lot of validation, don't you?" Mm. And I was like, "Yeah, I do actually."
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because then you start to resent what you're doing. Like, I've done a great job with this, or I feel good about this, or this is good, or this is what I'm doing. Why hasn't anyone patted me on the back?
Yeah.
But then you realise you're just doing normal shit that normal people do.
Yeah.
That other people don't need a pat on the back for, because this is what you do, right?
This is so true. It's certainly true of me. The bit you say about, you know, like, even if I'm around, like, I used to go around to, like, Stu Whiffin's, like, quite often I'd kind of go there around Christmas time, just because that family was together and mine wasn't.
Yeah.
I'm in that situation and I go there because I want to feel it, but then I feel it and I don't like it, you know, because it's like, it's horrible because it just reminds me of what I haven't got. That kind of disconnect, I really, I totally get that. I get that all the time with a lot of things, and I'll get that, the other thing you say, not so much nowadays.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of moved on, and that's kind of often being in a relationship where there's a good to and fro, and
of course,
it's more kind of more.
That's what I thought, yeah, the relationship is essentially about the other person. If both people are giving, then both of you are receiving.
Yeah, yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's a, mutual
yeah.
respect, right? But I didn't get that from my mother.
Yeah.
I didn't get it from my ex-wife. Right?
Yeah.
Like, so the two, quote-unquote, most important people or women that should have been in my life, I didn't get it from.
Yeah.
And it's taken me, what, 40, well, it would have been 43 years to meet that person that was going to...
Yeah.
It's so, it's that's the thing people don't always realise, is that, like, something like that, like, with your mum, even the aside, that's why I was asking about it, really, because even the aside of the her having that relationship, which was fucking ridiculous, you know, like, she's an adult, I shouldn't, right? So, even aside from that, you think the damage was already being done by the lack of attachment. And, like, that kind of shit fucks you up for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And it's only... And, like, you know how many people you know who just go in and out of these really destructive relationships?
Yeah.
And you're like, what are you doing? It's like...
Yeah. It's the pattern.
And, like, people, but you just... You don't feel like you're worth anymore.
No.
Right? And then one day...
Yeah.
You kind of do.
Yeah. And that's the weird thing. Like, when I was a kid, like, I just sailed through it, as my dad was saying. Like, I just just breezed through it. But I kind of did everything on my own.
Yeah.
I had people to talk to, but I just didn't talk because I was in it. Everything that happened just felt normal. I mean, she was a master manipulator.
Yeah.
Like manipulated everyone around her. So, you know, I felt almost probably brainwashed in
You would have been, because, like, who do you look to for answers? You look to your parents.
Course,
and if they're telling you the wrong answer, or they're telling you what they want you to hear, who are you to know anything else anyway?
Exactly.
You just don't. It's like...
Was there any like lineage in the fact that, obviously, you said your dad was considered like an icon at school?
Yeah,
right?
Well respected.
So he's very well respected in the fact that maybe your mum's actions spotlighted her at all. Do you know what I mean? Like if it spotlighted, put it on her as someone to sort of pay attention to, potentially.
What do you mean?
Because if he had, like, was respected of being there and you said, like, he was considered an icon at school, right?
So
your mum having that as an action, as to do something, was it like a someone needs to look at me situation, do you think?
Could have been. Oh, what do you mean, like, she was maybe jealous?
Because I also, and my follow up question is, like, how the fuck did he feel? Do you know what I mean?
Mate, can you imagine? To this day, like, I don't know how
shame he must have felt.
He got through it. I mean, he's always been so resilient,
Yeah, of course.
He's like so resilient. Like I never. Well, I only saw
as
him.
As are you though, Jesus man.
Well, it's taken me a while, but yeah, cheers.
Yeah, but you're a good human.
I only saw him wobble once, and I don't think he knew I was there.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but again, he had a massive support network and was super popular, right? But
right, yeah.
It does. I don't think it matters how many people you have around you.
Yeah.
If something's affecting you, you're the loneliest person in the fucking world. Sometimes, yeah, right? You could be.
But it's kind of
people and you're still alone.
Maybe, yeah, it's that kind of stoic thing, isn't it? Which, you know, where you're like, no, stiff upper lip and then we'll... Yeah, but then, like, behind closed doors, you're inside your head, screaming.
Yeah.
Screaming at you.
Yeah. So, and, you know, obviously since then, he's, you know, met the love of his life. You know, I call her my mum.
Right, yeah.
Because she's been in my life since I was, like, maybe 16, 17.
Yeah, okay. Which is so she's been well,
my mum more than... My mum was, right? So,
yeah.
You know, he's got a super new, well, not new wife, they've been married for 25 years, but, you know, they've moved on, they've done their thing in a cracking relationship.
Which,
so,
which is beautiful, because he clearly fucking deserved it.
But then in this,
as did you. Right, you know?
And he was probably in a relationship that wasn't very good with her, so...
Yeah.
So it is good to that. I mean, this is the facts of it is, isn't it? It's that... Like, things can be really shit, but things can get better.
Yeah.
Sometimes you've got to be really fucking brave to make it better, though.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Sometimes, you know, you've got to go, no, I deserve more.
Which is really difficult. Which is the choice I made a few years ago.
Yeah.
Just to say, I can't do this. Like, for the next 40, 50, 60 years of my life, is this what it is?
Yeah.
Like, I've had enough of being treated like I'm being treated. Like,
it's an interesting thing, that, because... I've obviously been in a situation similar where my relationship sort of ended, and I didn't consciously turn around and actually go, it's done, I'm walking out. But what I did, my behaviour basically splattered it all over the walls in fucking bright paint. Do you know what I mean? That's what I did. I was like, instead of going, I can't handle this, I just went in full on destruct. And I think you've got to ask yourself at times, like, why you do that. And why it's so easy to do that when it's not naturally in us.
Yeah.
To like, you had children, I had children, and I've always loved the idea of family.
Mm-hmm.
But then the fact is, when you're opposite somebody, and the illusion, not illusion, it's a horrible word, but you fall in love with somebody, and then you fall in love of your version of somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and then the reality is in everyday life that if you don't get the support, you. Not even that you. I mean, they may well do, but like the projection that you give, or the expectations that then you put out on somebody.
Yeah.
It's just constant being let down, I think, and regardless of your reasons for it, either. Do you know what I mean? There's a degree of like a level of sympathy, I think, there, or not sympathy. That's the wrong word. What am I after? What's the fucking term?
Empathy.
Empathy is what I was after. Yeah. So that empathy.
I knew, but I wanted to watch him.
Cheers, man. Thanks. Cheers. But like with that, it's like, and when you meet other people, and suddenly you see something you haven't seen before, experienced, where like you're not feeling like you're constantly fucking someone off for being you. Is long and short of it. In my experience, is what it is.
Well, something you said that. A minute ago there was about family meant a lot to you.
Yeah.
And again, that was something that I was always adamant that my kids wouldn't have to go through.
Yeah.
What I went through, right?
100%.
So even though there would have been opportunities through that relationship to end it or X, Y, and Z, my thought was always, my kids have only got one opportunity.
Yeah.
But that's bullshit. They've got plenty of opportunities.
Of course.
They want to be around a happy parent.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And happy together.
Yeah.
And again, that was, you know, I kind of had that bit of penny drop. Yeah. I need to be the best I can be with a person who's going to help me be the best I can be.
And
you're no good to anyone if you're fucked.
No.
Yeah. And
that's when
my mental health started getting really... Yeah. Like, I've always said I should have maybe looked into, like, counselling and looking at my mental health back when I was in my early 20s. But it wasn't really prevalent then.
So what was going on in your early 20s then with you then? What was...
Well, that was just a lot closer to...
So I'm just curious about... there's one thing I wanted to come back to.
Yeah.
Which I thought was quite interesting. We talked about self-sabotage.
Yeah.
And you said about, like, Stu's mum. And I, like, there's a bit of me that goes, does she want to do something that you couldn't come back from?
Yeah,
you know, like when you do something so fucking bad that it forces change and you can't come back from it.
Yeah, exactly.
And then
what she was doing.
Yeah.
Well, I guess one of the reasons why she couldn't come back from it is because, I mean, you know this from listening to Rich's podcast, but I don't think Warren knows this.
No.
Is that because this was almost like a first of a kind. So this was on the front page of The Sun,
right.
The Mirror, okay. The local papers, right. And Richard and Judy. There was a Channel 5 documentary.
Fuck me.
This just ramps it up so much.
Wow. It was national.
See, that's mad. Yeah. It's like the extent
so
of
this
that,
was all yeah. going on.
So you can't come back from that?
No.
No,
of you can't come back from that.
But this was all going on, like you would have seen it all.
But that's, I mean, that's more my response of like, fuck, like... You sat just there as a teenager watching that shit happen.
Yeah.
I'm like fucking flabbergasted.
It makes your blood boil, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's fucking atrocious.
It's just, it's just insane that how
but
I
you as
just
a parent,
accepted
you,
it.
But you as a parent.
And moved with it.
You're a good parent. You know, I know you. Like, and it's like that you understand what it is to be one. Do you know what I mean? It's like, fuck me. Like, yeah, that's a little bit. Yeah, it's a lot. Lots to take.
That's why I just think
bit,
that.
Yeah, sorry, but fuck me.
She was never a parent.
No,
or a wife.
Fuck
yeah.
Like, I don't know what she was, but well, she was a paedophile.
Well,
yeah,
a selfish
motherfucker.
Yeah, that is essentially a paedophile.
Yeah.
From someone who's worked in the law a lot, ladies. But it's funny enough, I'm working with lots of paedophiles. quite often. Like, they will give in to an impulse because they want, like, that they can't deal with it anymore.
Yeah.
So they'll give in to it, and you'll see, like, when they actually get caught, they get caught really obviously.
Yeah.
And it's like they just want to get caught because they can't deal with it anymore. Yeah. You know, that's what I was saying about those kind of big things you do.
Yeah.
They pull you in a direction, and then that's it. And it's like, once it's happened, it's almost out of your hands.
Yeah.
What happens as a result of it.
Yeah.
So that was kind of curious. Like, not that I was going anywhere with that.
But, it wasn't hidden. I mean, I don't want to say it was acceptable back then.
No.
But it was a behaviour that lots of people did. I mean, this is like, what, 1989, 1990, 1991. And it was in open sight every day.
Was
everyone
really?
At school
really?
Knew what was happening.
Really?
People would question me about it and ask me about
what's
it.
What's going on with that kid and your mum?
Like, I remember once, I'm sure you guys had at school, had a fucking ice cream man.
Yeah.
You would get your shit from
him. Bowling.
At lunchtime, right?
Panda Pops, all that shit.
Mate,
at
lunchtime you go to Pete and you get your hot dog and your can of Coke and you were done for your lunch break.
Yeah,
I'd go there and Pete would be like, who's your mum giving a lift home today, hey, Stu? Like a fucking ice cream man.
Really?
And that's your mum, though, isn't it?
Oh, God. I struggle with that.
It's insane, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is.
And it was all just kind of like a bit of a joke.
Yeah.
And they were like, but what's that doing to you?
I always went along with the joke. Like, I've always seen the funny side of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's kind of self-protective as well.
Yeah. Like, even like with the quote-unquote bullies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Making them laugh.
Yeah.
They had this weird respect for you because you can make them laugh, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, always make people laugh before they can take the piss or punch.
Yeah, that's what I always did.
Yeah, same. Yeah. It's diffusion.
Right? I think that's why my first thought with anything is a joke.
Yeah.
To the point where, I mean, other people at work say to me, like, I don't know if you're being sarcastic or serious. And I just go, oh, neither do I.
Yeah.
I'm just talking.
It's just my muscle memory.
But, you know, as a testament, you are a charismatic, likable human. So, like, no, you are, though, man. Yeah. Like, I genuinely mean it. Like, I've never had a bad word to say about you. You're a lovely man. And you know, as someone that's clearly been through something I didn't know about at all. Actually, not at all. Not that you'd fucking broadcast it, but it's like, okay, I can resonate massively with potential anger there.
Yeah.
Because it's like...
Well, that's what I got from the counselling, the anger.
Yeah.
But I've never been able to identify what emotions I have.
Yeah.
But ultimately
it's
a ton of confusion and anger.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I've never been able to put a pin in what I'm feeling at the time. I just know there's this weird feeling in me.
But that makes sense because you were probably just like going through it and just trying to almost disassociate from it so it didn't hurt you.
Yeah.
And then because of that, the emotions aren't actually dealt with. Mm. They're just sitting there.
Yeah.
And like,
unidentified.
Yeah.
Bubbling away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did you,
life progress for you afterwards then? Did things kind of get to normal after a while for you?
I guess it was all my weird normal, right? So when eventually it all came to a head and she disappeared, then me and my brother lived with my dad in the same house, and that kind of just was what it was. I mean, we all were honest, good fun, the house of guys.
Yeah.
I don't want to speak for my brother, but you know, he's 4 years younger than me. So he was going through this when he was like 8 and 9.
Right.
So I probably remember stuff that he experienced that he doesn't remember.
Yeah.
Right?
Might be kind of beneficial to him in a way.
I remember getting when I decided that I was never going to speak to her again. I was 17, so I haven't spoke to her since I was 17.
Yeah.
But no desire to. She's not any part of my life.
I was going to ask that.
Yeah, but it just keeps coming.
She sent me like a birthday card, but in it was a letter with her almost blaming me, because she's never taken accountability for any of this shit. There's never been an apology.
Blaming you.
Blaming me for like turning my brother against her.
Right.
Okay. And that it was then I was like, I'm done with this. So I remember writing her a letter back and sending her, and that was me done.
So yeah, more manipulation.
Yeah, exactly that.
And then after that, it was just, you know, I was, 18, so I just started working, going to college and building my circle of friends doing my thing. So that just became my normal.
So did you not crash and burn at any point?
Yeah, when I was like in my late 30s.
Was it really that?
Which is why I said earlier about in my early 20s, like when you're that age, like late teens, early 20s, that's when you're discovering everything isn't to do with education. You're in the wide world, right?
Yeah, so that's right. Yeah.
That was my distraction, and I just I had like relationships. I wasn't going out like a different girl every night. That wasn't me at all.
No.
I was quite naive and reserved. I liked hanging around with guys playing football and computer games and watching TV comedies.
Yeah.
Right? And so I had like girlfriends. I didn't have
relationships.
Yeah, I was always in a relationship for 2 years, for a year, for whatever. Yeah. I wasn't going and meeting a different girl all the time. That was never me. But I just remember just feeling completely normal and just trying to work stuff out myself. But in hindsight, I probably should have. I think I went to one counselling session and thought, oh, I'll get it. That's cool.
And then
went back to playing Secret of Monkey Island.
Nailed
it.
So in that period, I'm guessing that you didn't feel like really low or anything like that. Like there was nothing kind of spiking for you. So no, you wouldn't go into therapy, would you? Unless you're feeling really bad.
Yeah, exactly. But then it wasn't until like later on in my marriage that those patterns started coming back in, like the adultery and the lying and the manipulation and the everything else that made me feel like validated, unloved.
Right. Okay.
Why am I married? Fucking like, what on earth? Why would this person want to be with me? Blah blah blah. And then that makes you reflect. And I guess I started. I remember ignoring the obvious.
Yeah. Right.
Just thinking this is obvious. I don't. If I haven't got to go to a counsellor for him to help me uncover this, and it's this obvious, maybe it isn't a thing.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's so fucking
obvious
that I don't need to worry about it. Can't it. I get it.
Yeah.
And then I remember like actually feeling like dark clouds in those dark days.
Yeah.
Like through like mid-30s. Like literal dark clouds. I don't know how you like had yours, but it was like all around the top of my head.
Yeah.
But imagine like you're a giant and you got your head in the clouds. Yeah. That's how it felt.
Yeah.
Like these physical dark clouds on the top of my head.
Yeah.
Just burning.
Not getting out of fucking bed.
When I've been really bad, like I think everything's in shadow. Like everything's in the shadow and I can see all the shadows. And it's like that's what I say, it's like that black feeling.
Yeah.
So that's interesting, isn't it? So it's like it took the same behaviour, you to be treated kind of the same, for it to spike, which means, I wonder if you, they say, like, with trauma, what you went through with your mum, that is trauma.
Yeah.
You know, like that is definitely, that's the same as anyone would have PTSD for that. And then quite often, when something's so bad, your brain goes, fuck off, Yeah. I ain't having that. Like, yeah. I'm just going to la 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 over there.
Any tactic that's needed.
And it seems like, like you'd kind of, you'd done that. And then, so I imagine when you crashed, it must have been a pretty fucking bad crash.
Yeah, because I mean, I think I could feel it coming for a long time.
Yeah.
But as I like to dismiss stuff and just plough forwards.
Yeah.
Again, that's another little theme in my life, is I dismiss stuff and just try and plough through.
Yeah. But like, that's so like, yeah, it's because it you can't, that's the only way you're going to get barred, because that's how you got barred before.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like you're learning.
But I could feel it building for such a long time, and just having times when, again, like we say, you're surrounded by people.
Yeah.
So you're with your family or you're with their family, but you're just sitting there just, something's bubbling away and you just don't want to be near any of these people.
Yeah.
Like, you just want to fucking flip tables or whatever else. Yeah. And you just can't. And you don't, like, no one's going to understand. I remember when I finally like admitted to her what I was feeling, there was like almost no reaction.
Yeah.
Like, no reaction at all. And again, that's what I mean about that, just feeling unrespected, unvalidated, unloved, un-anything. Stuff that I'd kind of noticed but dismissed.
Yeah.
You're like, this isn't fucking, this isn't for me anymore.
Yeah, and I there's something in that, I think, for me, from my perspective, like, to understand that. Like, it's you can have a lot going on, but I think one of the most important things is to someone who you put your all into to turn around and go, let me actually sit, and you talk all the fucking time, but let me actually sit and listen and go, okay. And tell and help and just give you a fucking cuddle, like,
but be interested,
but actually interested and engaged,
to give a shit,
and regardless of what they
not
have,
to carry on having affairs and fucking whatever else.
Well, yeah,
it's not a lot to ask for the person you're with, engaged, and you've got children with, and you've kind of given yourself over to, for them to give a shit. It's really not a lot to ask.
No, it isn't.
What? Oh, bollocks, I had something. Oh,
sorry, mate, I'll be cutting what just said, as an answer as well.
You can edit this.
Yeah. No, I don't like editing.
No, he hates it.
You said something that was really, really good, and I just thought, fucking hell, I can't let that miss. That, you know, like, when you're feeling really bad, and, like, you kind of know it, and you know you're not really doing very well, but because you know it, like, it's not a thing.
Yeah, you can plough through.
And I just thought, how true is that? And I've never actually thought about that.
Yeah.
I've never thought of it in those terms. And I imagine the amount of people who are probably listening to this, and they're thinking, well, it's that. That's why I feel bad.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, but you still feel so bad that you can't get out of bed and you can't function.
Yeah. You know what it is.
So it's still a problem. Yeah. It doesn't matter that you've identified it. You still need to do something about it.
Yeah.
And I just thought, fucking hell, I've sat in that so many times.
But it's why it's been so important.
It's just a really lovely point. I just thought, I've got to make sure. Like, that's a great point. So how did... So kind of between then and, like, you know, like college and that, were you ever self-destructive or anything?
No, I don't think so.
Never, like, a heavy drug use, loads of booze?
No.
See, I was self-destructive
as fuck. Never drink out, never smoked, never took drugs, just... Like, I didn't really, like, until I was about, say, 21, I just couldn't understand why people would go and have, like, 5 pints.
See,
it wouldn't be my thing, but then, like, I'd have, like, a bottle of beer or something if it was hot. Like, or you're in the guard or whatever.
Yeah.
But I've never been a big drinker.
So it's
like
just that. Interesting.
My dad isn't either, like, he's not a drinker.
No, my parents were drinkers, and I've had, it weren't around
and
me.
And I was intimidated by it.
You were.
Yeah, like you know that group of lads.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah, I get that.
Because again, when I was younger, I was very, I always say like the word naive, unassuming, etc. Yeah. I was never like this confident, outgoing. Everyone look at me, hey girls, you know, I'm gonna punch you in the face, chap, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I'd like just to keep myself to myself and just doing normal stuff, you know. So
the pub can portray that image though,
yeah,
because the arseholes that are there, like, I personally, like, I love the boozer, like, I love the interaction of people. I've met some of my closest friends because they've worked behind a bar and I've gone in there at lunchtime on a mega hike and had a coffee and a soda water. I'm not necessarily had booze, but just the way you engage in that space.
Yeah, I don't really talk really to strangers. Positive. I don't really talk to people.
I'm all about that shit. Like, I love that for that. But I do 100% get when you walk into a pub in a certain place or area, the archetypal asshole is everywhere in the world, obviously, you know. But that intimidation, you need to, it forces you to either big yourself up enough of a cunt to hit them back, verbally or otherwise, or you just go somewhere else.
I think that,
that is, no matter from how old you are ever, I can still walk into and be like, I don't want to stand here because that group of arseholes in the corner are distracting me. And actually in my older age, I'm like, I want to fucking say something, so I need to fuck off, because that's, again, not positive or not healthy.
Well, like, my early 20s was just around that whole growth of, like, lad culture.
Yeah, of course. Mm.
Hated it.
Yeah, shit.
Hated
Still
it.
Still shit.
I got, like, when I was younger, I got the shit beaten out of me a couple of times.
Right.
By, like, some, like, this was when I was, like, towards the end of infant school, and I got really badly fucking beaten up.
It's disgusting.
And then I got beaten up in Tilbury once as well. And I was never, like, a kind of tough guy, but because I was tall, people would think, like, fucking... But I got really fucking kicked in one time, and it made me physically scared.
Mm.
So I was just physically scared of people.
Yeah.
Like, if it kick off, I'd be like, I'm literally going to start crying. You know, like, I was physically scared. And then I was... And that kind of led also into them being scared, like, of just talking to strangers, talking to girls, all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it does kind of bring you in, doesn't it? It brings you in. And it kind of makes you... laddie stuff. You know, laddie stuff, girls, birds. Like, that always kind of...
It's cringe.
Yeah, yeah, it's horrible. But it kind of scared me as well.
It is horrible, though. Yeah. Just arseholes.
But then I kind of, like... I think then I started hanging around with Stu. And we and he got me into drinking, really. and then I found booze was an antidote to that.
Yeah.
Well, it's a numbing agent.
But then it also numbed my crippling depression at that point I'd had for 10 years.
Yeah.
So
I think my booze was like music.
Yeah.
Yeah, just threw myself right
into it. It does sort you out, doesn't it? Like, I think I'm so glad, like, I kind of bought a guitar and I started learning the guitar, because that was, like, at least it meant that rather than going out and having fights or being like one of those kind of people, I was making music with friends.
Mm. Yeah.
And, like, that's what you kind of throw yourself into.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, I kind of feel quite a kinship with you there. It's kind of just that. Beautiful. But then I think, you know, everything you've been through, none of that is anything that's going to fill you with confidence.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, it's that, all that shit just pulls confidence out of you and makes you want to not be seen.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm a confident guy, but only in certain areas, I suppose. It's weird, like with the anger and with what I've been through, I almost feel indestructible. In, like, if there's conflict in front of me, it doesn't rattle me at all.
Mm.
Like, and that's a really, like, cheap example, but even at work, because I work in retail, if there's, like, a customer kicking off or whatever else and threatening you, etc., I'm just not fazed. I do not get nervous.
No.
However, what I don't like causing conflict.
Or
being the protagonist of something. And I think that comes from, like, knowledge is power, right? So when I was younger, I knew everything that my mum was doing. Mm. My dad didn't. So I had that knowledge and that power. If I was to say to him what was happening in my tiny mind, young mind, I would have been the cause of the marriage breaking. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So having that,
It's painful. That's not a nice power to carry.
But then, equally, like,
having that on your shoulders, like.
Well, then again, with the same with my previous relationship, I would have been the cause.
Yeah, you would have. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. You would have been the cause of it, yeah.
So
it's
you've
dismissed it.
So you've subverted that.
But then ultimately, I just got confidence and I made that decision. For my mental health my children's health and everything.
So you've
else.
Mentioned anger a lot.
Yeah.
And did anger ever, like, I can't, because, see, I have a lot of inner anger. for numerous reasons. I'm angry because I've been depressed since I was so young. You know, I'm angry. Yeah. And I've kind of learnt to let a lot of that go as time's gone on. But I've never been, no one would ever say, oh, you're an angry person, or, you know, because angry people lose their shit and they shout and they have a go at people. Mm. And like, I've probably lost my shit like once over lockdown with my daughter smashing her phone up, but that was it. But I properly lost my shit.
Yeah.
But I don't kind of get from you, did your anger ever come out like that, or is it just this?
No, I think I've become a master of suppressing it.
But is it because you, like, because we've met?
No, like, I don't like arguing back. And I don't stand up for myself as much as I should.
Because so, for me, a lot of my anger really was more like I'm angry at myself.
Mm.
Yeah. Like, I'm angry because my brain, my mental health is going, you're fucking shit. You know, like you were saying, like, if you're not getting validated, then your head is telling you you're shit. Then.
It's a constant conflict, isn't it?
Yeah.
Inner conflict, yeah.
So you're crap. Like, you're crap. Of course you're crap. Look. That happened to you. Like, of course, you're fucked, mate.
But on top of that voice, you've got another voice saying, "This is ridiculous. Like, why do I feel like this? I shouldn't feel like this at all."
Yeah.
Like, you've got, you know, 10% of logic.
As well, in there.
You're saying this is pointless. So you're just constant inner conflict.
And that's what I mean. That's the nub of it, isn't it? That's the thing that I don't think people always understand about these things, is that there's a fucking 100 things going on in your head, and it's killing you, man.
Yeah.
So how did you... So when you said... So what? When you split up with your ex, was that when, like, you kind of realised you weren't well? Like, when it really realised, when it kind of... Did anything happen to you?
I think it's been building up. It was building up over years. And it was probably like a couple of years before, a few years before the separation. But then after that was, you know, because I moved out and I lived with my parents for a bit. And I think that's where... Like, living in my parents' box room.
Yeah, he's doing the same. Well,
I'm talking about when you've
fucking
suddenly got nothing.
Mm. Yes.
Like, nothing.
Yeah.
Your entire life is in a box room.
Yeah.
Mm. All you've got is really your thoughts. Mm.
Yeah.
So the only places that I was at home that I was familiar with were work and my car.
Mm. Yeah. That's your only resonance.
Because I didn't grow up in my parents' house because they moved after I moved out.
Oh, mate, I didn't.
So that's not my childhood.
Yeah, when my parents sold the house, and it was like I never had anywhere to go. Like, although I was like 21, I still felt like I didn't belong anywhere.
Yeah. So I mean, I think that was probably like my worst mental health time. Like, just literally, just fucking rock bottom. Almost like. Like, I don't know if it's like a grieving process or what it is, but, you know, you go from seeing your kids every day to being in your home to not seeing your kids every day.
Yeah, yeah.
They can't even stay over with you
because
it's not your house and there's no room for them to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
To being in a box room just thinking, so this is where I am now. I've always called myself the naive optimist.
Yeah.
Like, something will work out.
Yeah,
and something usually does work out.
Yeah, it usually does.
But then I realise I've actually got to work really hard and put a lot of effort in, even though I made many bad decisions after that separation that are still impacting myself and, you know, impacting Tasha 3 years later.
Yeah.
Stuff that we can't do because of cowardly, for want of a better word, decisions that I made back then.
Yeah,
I've made that undeserved.
Yeah,
living large
to cover up.
Yeah, if you were an objective person to look at that, you'd be like, "This is the wrong way around."
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah.
These people are the wrong way around.
I think I've been through a very, very similar situation to you, right? And it's for whatever reasons, when something breaks up, a lot of the time, like, in terms of what you realise is that a relationship turns into an admin exercise, and it turns into a financial workout and then time and all sorts of other shit that you it's not actually important emotionally, any of it, in fact. Yeah. But it just boils down to the fact that you had reliance on somebody else and they have reliance on you for different reasons or the same reasons. And if it's the same, you'll probably still be together.
Yeah.
So that's the reality of it. And when it becomes that financial breakdown admin exercise and you were emotionally invested in it, it makes you very fucking angry.
Yeah.
And it does. And obviously you just want the good of your children, especially when you've got young children. So like Max is six.
Yeah.
Right. So you're little, you know, and my Juno's, she's seven and Lola's now 10. And like they're young, they're impressionable, and they can see. So when you first put up and stuff, like there's a constant dialogue that you have with them and yourself because you're still learning what the fuck to say, and to think, and then how to act with your ex and all this sort of shit, and the decisions you make, whether no matter what they are, they will always, it's because it's a judgment that you think you're making correctly, but you're not of sound mind ever.
Yeah,
because the reason it fucks up is because of that. Basically, no matter how it is, it's meant to be that way.
Yeah.
And this is the thing I come to sort of terms of as well. It's like everything that I've done in my life, I guarantee, has meant to happen somehow.
Mm.
Because it's always led to something actually that's been beneficial to me.
Yeah.
Whether I've gone through, I mean, we spoke about this on like the first episode of the podcast, like for this season. Like he said, I am very chaotic.
Mm.
Right. But there's a way that my brain reacts to that chaos.
Yeah.
Because it allows me to make sense of it. And if you were able to then make sense of a situation, regardless of how it hinders your future, and hinders is probably the right word, because it will have a direct impact on how you can live.
Yeah.
But being optimistic and having and actually having positivity and speaking to the right people that then give you the right input. Say, yeah, you was a cunt, and she was, and he was, and blah, 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 blah. But you're doing something about it.
Yeah.
If you're doing something about it, what that means is that you will actively be able to review your actions, subjectively, objectively, whatever, and change it. And change is fucking important.
Mm.
It's been massively important for me, and clearly you are happier, right? So your happiness now with your new partner and your children that you now see, and whatever happens, you will still get to the ultimate point because you're the right person. So how it got there, really, and if you look at it from a holistic perspective and whatever else, and it's something I'm starting to believe a lot spiritually as well, it meant to fucking happen for that to be there.
Yeah,
it did.
No, you're right. And there's, you know, just you saying that has made me think like twofold. So the person that Tasha has helped me become.
Yeah.
So I feel confident and robust and strong and resilient.
Yeah.
I wish I'd made the decisions I've made 3 years ago,
course.
Then,
yeah,
but I was making them decisions as a broken,
unconfident.
But you could say unwell.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, it's right. A term that I often say.
The second side of it is you're right. So now, like I'm like, super happy.
Yeah, and you see,
I'm making more music than I've
made. Smashing it,
like doing all the podcast stuff, etc. Being who I am and feeling comfortable with that.
Yeah,
that I wasn't able to do. Back then, and likewise, no, Tasha's investing in herself and she's doing her artwork, discovering what she wants to do, etc.
Yeah.
So you're right; it's led us to a place where we're happier and more positive.
Yeah.
It's not the place we want to be by any stretch.
No, but it's
a house and a home and everything else, right? Like everyone else does, but we're in a far better place than we were both were.
Yeah. So it's
3+ years ago, right?
Yeah. So I quite reading between the lines, I'm assuming Tasha's had a hard time as well.
Yeah, she's had her ups and downs,
and that. But that's the thing. So you've kind of both come together at a point where you both understand.
Mm.
Yeah.
You both know it because you've kind of done it. I'm just amazed that not at any point, you haven't self-destructed. You've been through all this shit and you've managed to maintain your composure. And like the worst part part was that you went to
my parents, they were like ridiculously dark days.
Yeah,
like not because of my parents, obviously, but like you know, laying in bed,
a lot of time to
suicidal thoughts, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
like you can't, like it's weird. Fucking... Like your brain just generates this stuff. I'm not, but you're not constantly going, should I hang myself?
Or
should I jump off that bridge?
Like, your brain's trying to protect you. It's going, oh, this is so shit.
Your brain's doing.
Yeah.
Like you cannot move. You cannot get out of bed. Yeah, you do not want to draw them curtains.
Mm.
You don't want to speak to people. you want to do everything, you don't want to do anything. You want to speak to people, you don't want to. You're just in this place where you just don't want to exist.
Yeah, yeah.
But then you're like, so my parents are nice, my partner's nice, my kids, I love them.
Yeah.
I can't do that to them.
Yeah.
Like,
that's a fucking strong
way. But then I really understood that those people that do give into those thoughts and end their lives may not have those people around them, but I could understand why they would do it.
I couldn't.
I could never. I'm not saying they're selfish or it's subjective, obviously, but I could never have put my parents or my kids or
see my brain goes like my like because for me my brain's going. Like, I'd be so much better off without you. Come on, just fucking do it. Like, come on.
No, I would have been thinking I would have been better off without me. Not them.
Yeah, I'd be thinking that, but like you know, all the things that you would hang on to and go, oh, I couldn't do it to them. Yeah. My brain's going, but they want you dead. You know, like you're a pain in their fucking ass, and like that's my brain just going right in on me. Yeah. So how did you pull through?
So I'd say, well, just on your question from earlier, my lowest, worst self-destruct points are the most recent ones, like within the last few years.
Oh, really?
Not back then. I just sailed through. But one of my sort of jokey thoughts is, I don't want to die tomorrow or today or next week because there's loads of really great stuff coming in the future.
Yeah.
Obviously personal stuff, but what if they disclose that aliens are real? I want to be around to know that. What if they find something in Antarctica that's really interesting? I want to know about that shit. What if the best album of all time is released next year? I want to hear that shit.
Submit
a beat to like fucking Nas and he takes it.
I know.
Right? So there's all this wonderful stuff, plus obviously, you know, Tasha and I's future and stuff. I've got, everyone dies at 100, we know that, right? I used to believe that as a kid. So I've got 55 years left on this planet.
Yeah, exactly.
And I want to have the best 55 years of my life for my kids and for Tasha, right?
Yeah.
So that, but again, this is where I started to pull through by having the support of a very strong human being next to me and just starting to look at all the great stuff that can come, not all the horrific stuff.
So what was happening. That when you met Tasha that you started to come through it?
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't think I would have been able to deal with this
change
on my own.
Yeah. Mm.
Or without the support of someone who genuinely wants you to move
and that is an absolutely
beautiful thing. Doesn't want you to be dead.
Yeah.
It's so So since doing the podcast, like loads of good things have happened. You know, start doing music, meet new people, hanging out with him. You know, like, but you know, like, all these good things have happened and things that I would never have believed. You know, being asked to play a festival, which it might not happen now, but I almost don't. I'm not that bothered.
Yeah.
Because it's like just like I just kind of sit in the feeling that when I heard it I was so happy.
Yeah.
And it's like and it just got me to thinking that you know like there are even at 45 there's still so many possibilities.
Yeah.
And like there if you're not in the so game much, then you don't get to enjoy the enjoy the like the results.
Well, there's a couple of things there. So I remember back in the old days and hearing the phrase, you know, don't surround yourself but with negative people.
Yeah, yeah.
Surround yourself with positive people. Then I'd go home and just think, this is something that I believe, but it's not something that I'm living.
Yeah.
Whereas now, exactly that. So like Whiffin, Glasson, the podcast.
Yeah.
I've met so many really genuinely good people.
Yeah, man.
That my life has started to improve. Yeah. So once you get rid of that negative energy and the negative people in your life, you genuinely do start to meet really positive, wonderful
you do.
People who bring you forward.
Things start bouncing off of each other and the stuff starts moving forward.
You have to put stuff into the universe. The universe gives back.
But it literally is that way. Like it's a strange thing of like certain people have really, really lovely energy.
Yeah.
And it helps you. It helps you become that too, right?
Yeah.
Because you recognise it and then it's like, it's like pushing things forward. Like my dad's always said that a lot, which has always made me chuckle. But it's like, you know, push it forward.
Let's push things.
Play it forward, you know what I mean? It's like, I get it. This is football manager, football analogies, you know what I mean? Pushing emotion and good vibes forward, as trite as that may sound, it's fucking true.
Yeah,
when you're around that, like...
You don't do it, but the thing is, there is something in that where some people are just like, no, positive vibes, without acknowledging that they might have been an arsehole and trodden.
Yeah, of course.
You don't do it at the expense of people. There's all that going on, I think. But, I never used to like sit with a positive thing. But it is so true. It was only kind of like having lots of therapy and it was saying like if you say shit things to yourself, to everyone else, you think shit things, then shit things happen and you feel shit. And I have kind of swung on that positive thing. I used to hate positive people, but that's because I was so unhappy.
I read
recently, it's like a quote or someone was saying that if you believe and think negative things are going to happen,
they will.
You're right.
Yeah, 100%.
So what's stopping you thinking that positive things are going to happen? Yeah. Because then you'll be right.
Yeah.
And again, it's against muscle memory. You have to train yourself.
Yeah, you do, yeah.
Pip used to say that, how hard is it to just wake up and say, it's a good day sort of thing. Like, he and it always stuck with me. I think it might be one of his poems or something. But it's like, and it's very true. You can wake up if you wake up with, like I do often, with just like fuzz, it's like I wake up with white noise in my head, right? It's like, fucking hell, my to-do list, didn't do this, fucking hell. And then I've learned to sort of sit up for a minute, not look at my fucking phone, and just go, it's gonna be right today, you know, like, and cool, I've got this, and look forward to seeing somebody or doing something. Like, I've been in a great mood today. The sun's out. Yeah. Like, you know,
imagine like after something happens and you go, well, that's ruined my day.
Yeah,
you've just decided.
Yeah, you just had
for the next 12 hours.
Yeah,
No, it's so, but it's so easy to do. It's so easy to do. And then things go wrong, which you wouldn't normally just go, oh, that's fine.
Yeah,
sort that.
Yeah,
and you don't. And like, you just go, oh, yeah, that's happened.
It's almost like human beings are wired to be negative.
Yeah, we are. No, but that is facts.
It's weird.
We're wired to be negative because that keeps us alive.
Yeah.
So your brain is looking for problems.
Yeah.
Like, there is the largest part of your brain is looking for problems. Have you heard this?
Yeah.
You must have heard this.
Yeah.
But yeah, your brain's looking for problems so that you don't...
You can avoid them and survive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, and if you look for problems, you'll find them absolutely everywhere.
So, bloody cavemen dodging them dinosaurs.
Do you know what I mean?
That's what it is. There is a large part of our brain hasn't evolved since then.
Yeah.
And so it's completely normal to be negative, and it's really hard not to be. It's actually really difficult. As you said, you have to kind of really fucking train yourself. I have to fucking train myself. I have to kick myself up the arse every day.
Mm.
So what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
What does that matter? Mm. You know, like, we sort it out.
Yeah.
Last night, stretching, Warren ain't fucking sent the stuff over. I'm going to bed at 9:45, like I always go to bed. And like, I'm like, and I'm like, what's it matter? Just do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, it don't really matter.
Yeah, and then again, that's dealing with like your anxieties, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I think one of my understandings was depression's the past, anxiety's the future.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. And I came through. I think that was one of the times, like to your question, is like, when did it start improving? Is that when I made that connection.
Yeah.
So I've dealt with the depression side of things, and what I'm actually feeling is just absolute panic about what's coming.
Yeah.
So like, I understand what depression is now. Now I understand what anxiety is. I never really understood what anxiety was. Well, I knew what it was, but I hadn't personally.
But yeah, as you said, you didn't really understand your emotions.
Yeah.
Because you just kind of gone like plain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything kind of plain.
Yeah, if I just go along with wherever this tide's taking me, I'll probably be alright.
Yeah.
And that didn't really get me anywhere. But having the courage to make a decision and make change happen is really fucking difficult, but it's so valuable. So valuable.
Yeah. It's quite interesting. Well, it's very interesting, but I've actually like there's so many loads of little great little liners in there that I really and it's really, I love it when that happens because it's actually like I kind of go, oh, fuck, I can, like I'll take that away with me, and that's important. And it's quite nice seeing Warren being able to like go, and then you can see through the other side because he's, I know you've had a tough time, haven't you?
That shows the value of these conversations.
Guys
would just sit. It takes a podcast to share.
Because
I can't imagine. Like, say I said to you, like, if I knew you guys, like you well, and I'd be like, and we didn't have a pandemic, do you want to come in for a cup of tea?
Yeah.
And we watched the football or film.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we would do.
Yeah.
We wouldn't end up talking about this.
Yeah, I know.
Unless you make
it takes a podcast to have this conversation.
It's been like, obviously, I'm like, I've made podcasts and I still do from whatever, but like being on one weekly now and recording a few, it's they're just getting much. I don't know. It's I'm finding it fucking amazing, quite frankly. And it's like, you know, again, I've known you for fucking years, but like never once had a conversation about your past. It's always been about your future. Right?
Yeah.
Like in a lovely way. I genuinely have always really fucking liked you. So so it's been a great thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. And like you're a positive, got on creative dude.
Regardless. Sort of,
exactly, man. Yeah. Like, and it's funny, isn't it? Because you sit here and it's like, fuck, like. Yeah, like, and I just like you more now. So do you know what I mean? Which is, I mean it. Like, I do.
But we don't want to hear bad stuff.
No,
because we're also constantly looking after ourselves as well. If you talk to someone and they tell you bad stuff, you're like, oh no, then maybe that makes me reflect on my bad stuff, and I don't want to think about all the bad stuff.
No.
Yeah.
But it don't actually work that way.
No,
it's like you have those conversations and you learn shit.
Yeah, that's how it works.
But we don't do it, and that's self-protective as well. It's not like everyone's walking around being an arsehole. Like, I don't care.
No, I mean,
there are people like that, of course.
So listen, we're at an hour 15, and according to the SD card, we've got 8 minutes left.
Have we really? You said that I have more memory than my computer.
It has, but you must have other shit on there. So.
Have I?
I don't know. It's got 99, file 99. It's got 7 minutes left of recording.
Right, we're going to have to wrap up then.
We're going to wrap up. That's all right, though. It's lovely.
Yeah, we've covered lots.
76. I've really loved this. This has been great. I feel like the conversation went in like different directions. I'm really, really pleased it did.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's been really, really great.
I mean, for me, massively eye-opening, as I said, of course. But like, I resonate with your story beyond.
And again, it's just nice having like listening to you guys and like bits of your stories as well. It's just really nice. Just have like a genuine, honest.
Yeah.
Conversation.
Yeah, fucking
right. Makes it feel less alone. Yeah, so, where do people check out your stuff? Come on, get a plug in at least.
All right, cool. So, on Twitter and Instagram, it's at 76beats. If you're not familiar, it's SVNTY6. Beats. And then the same, but 76 production. And then that's got all of my instrumentals, my albums with artists. It's got my merch, so my t-shirts, my beanies, etc. I've just released
go buy that shit.
A cassette.
Yeah, I saw your cassette.
I've just released a cassette, limited run of 20.
Sick.
But just come follow and have a little listen. That's all I worry about.
Beats are fucking lovely.
Did you record them yourself? Like, on a
cassette?
Yeah.
No, I used a really cool company called Bands.
Oh, you did?
bandcds.co.uk. And you, they're so cool. It's just, I think it's like one guy, a few guys.
Really? Oh, really?
Yeah, so I sent them the WAVs, sent them my artwork, and they just did the rest and sent them to me.
Oh, nice. So,
yeah, we're really good, man.
Yeah, go and check his shit out. It's amazing.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. I've really loved it. Honestly, it's been fantastic.
Thanks so much for asking me. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Big ups, lots of love in a bit.
All right. Bye, everyone. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.